The following podcast is scheduled for one awesome show and has a time limit of 60 minutes. And here are your hosts.
Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
And welcome to this week's Grapple Talk, our summer edition. My name is Nick Ragnar, joined by AC Riley and Jesse Von Ruden. We got a very special guest coming up here later today on our Spotlight in the Squared Circle. We're talking to Mike Mercury, guys. Kind of a different perspective on the Spotlight in the Squared Circle. A guy that really knows the ins and outs on the outside of the ring. A great promoter. And going to be really happy to have him on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, looking at some of his stuff in the bio, I was blown away hearing about some of the facts about Mike Mercury, so I can't wait to pick his brain a little bit. What about you, Jesse?
Well, a mainstay in the Wisconsin professional wrestling community for almost 20 years. It's going to be good to sit underneath the learning tree with Mike Mercury this week.
Right. So what we do every single week before we talk to Mike Mercury, we like to preview the upcoming independent wrestling shows for in this area for the upcoming weekend.
Upcoming shows!
And Jesse Von Ruden, why don't you start us off?
Well, we're going to start right off with IWA Mid-South presents An American Wolf. It's going to be Thursday, July 17th at the Jammers Roller Derby. Roller Derby, pardon me. Roller Derby. Yeah, Roller Dome in Clarksville, Indiana. Live in action will be one half of the TNA Tag Team Champions, Davey Richards.
Cool.
Will be taking on John Wayne Murdoch. I've never seen John Wayne Murdoch, but I've been hearing good things about him.
Oh, really?
Of course, we're going to have a walking episode of Cops as Mickey Knuckles makes her IWA Mid-South return to take on Ian Rotten's Tag Team Partner for Double Death Mistress Burgundy in a False Count Anywhere match. That should be interesting.
What is that? I don't even. What is a walking episode of Cop? What is that?
Well, I think that's kind of like the tagline for the match. A walking episode of Cop. It's going to be very criminal activity type of match.
Okay.
We're also going to see the newest entrant in the IWA Mid-South, Ted Petty Invitational. That's going to be Shane Mercer. We'll face the IWA World Heavyweight Champion Congo Kong, who is actually on Independent Pro Wrestling's power rankings this past week.
Oh, okay. Really?
Also, we're going to see Ian Rotten taking on Mitch Ryder in an I Quit match. Of course, tickets are $10 for adults, 12 and under get in for $7, and doors open at 6:45 with show time starting at 7:30.
That sounds like a very interesting show coming up there. And another show that's coming up is BCW, and they just had a show at the Frolics last Friday, and now they're having another one this Friday. It's on the 18th, back at the Knights of Columbus in West Allis, Wisconsin. Star-studded match like it always is. Fandemonium, as they always like to do for their little tagline. We got Dysfunction taking on Joey Jet Evelyn. We have Mace Morgan and Jared Jax continuing their implosion of the Urban Assault team. And we'll see Matt Cree taking on Leland Race, who is the son of Hall of Famer Harley Race. And in a special ladies tag team match, we'll see Stacy Shadows and Stacy O'Brien against Celine Gray and Heather Patera. And the doors open at 6:45. Show starts at 7:30. Tickets are $15 for adults and $10 on the website. And you can go there at BruceCityWrestlingNumber1.com.
Yeah, you can never really go wrong with some Bruce City Wrestling there. They always put on great shows. Also coming up here on Sunday, so it's a little bit of a different mix of things. You know, Sunday independent wrestling shows aren't very common in this area, but we do have one coming up this Sunday. It's at Sterling in Illinois. It's Funky Monkey Wrestling. Their show titled Mess with the Bull, Get the Horns. A cool title, by the way, if I do say so myself. It's at the Bullseye Bar, 103 West 3rd Street, as I said, in Sterling, Illinois, on Sunday. Then the Funky Monkey Championship will be on the line as the Judd the Janitor takes on Bucky Collins. And for the first time ever, we'll see Bobby Houston taking on Matt Cage. I don't know if that's the first time they've ever wrestled each other or the first time one of them's wrestled. I don't know what the tagline there is for. All I know is it's the first time of something. So you don't want to.
It's probably the
it.
First time they're actually locking horns.
Oh, yeah, because the horns thing.
Think about Matt Cage, too. He was at UPW for their Returns 4. He made a debut there, and he was very impressive. And he's been around this area. We just haven't seen too much of him. So, yeah, he'll definitely put on his A-game.
We're also going to see Christian Rose taking on a guy also making his debut for Funky Monkey Wrestling. That's Eric Cannon, who we know, and he's very popular in this area, especially in the Minneapolis area. So Eric Cannon making his debut in Sterling, Illinois for Funky Monkey Wrestling on Sunday. Tickets are $10 for general admission, $8 in advance. The show is an early start at 2:05, and that is Sterling, Illinois. So just, I want to reiterate it to make sure everybody knows where Funky Monkey Wrestling will be having Mess with the Bull, Get the Horns this Sunday. Also coming up on Saturday, we're looking at Steel Domain Wrestling's Hellebration. Huge show. Steel Domain Wrestling always brings it. That's Saturday, July the 19th. The Hopkins Pavilion is at 11, 11000.
What a zero.
Yeah, it'd be 11000.
11000. Excelsior Boulevard. Is that the name? Excelsior?
Excelsior.
Excelsior, yep. Boulevard in Hopkins, Minnesota.
Cole Cabana and Adam Pearce will be on the card, and they're actually going to be the main event. It's the eighth level. Old habits die hard as Cole Cabana takes on Adam Pearce. Definitely no strangers to each other. Tickets are $25 for ringside seats, $10 for everybody else, general admission. And one thing that's also a really huge announcement for Steel Domain is that if you cannot make the show, do not worry, because you can watch it on pay-per-view for $8.88, and also is for iPay-per-view as well, in case you don't have pay-per-view access on your television, but you do have a computer. Show starts at 6:30, and it's going to be one slobber knocker of a match.
Well, that's definitely something you don't see a lot. It's a lot of independent wrestling companies doing pay-per-view. So, guys, I got to ask you, is it beneficial for an independent wrestling company to actually have a pay-per-view, especially considering the cost factor it takes to put on a pay-per-view?
You want to take this one, AC?
You know, that's a really good question. You know, we always come up with really good questions. I got to give you the shout-out for that.
That's what I do.
One thing that I really like about this is that, you know, a main event like Colt Cabana versus Adam Pearce, you know, that's something that I would love to see, but I don't really see myself getting to Hopkins on Saturday,
but you
unfortunately.
Don't have a car.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't, if you start walking now, you might be able to make it.
Maybe, but that's the thing.
It's less than 5,000 miles.
I mean, I'm not planning to walk there, and I'm not planning to get a ride there because I don't have the wheels to do it. So, you know, for that match alone, I would love to go see that, you know, especially for $8.88, because, I mean, that's cheaper than general admission. And, you know, I get the best seat in the house on my couch and watching it on, you know, on a laptop.
That brings in actually a really, really heated debate that comes up when you talk about professional sports and when you're just talking about the idea of watching it at home and paying less than actually going there live and seeing it when, you know, the accessibility. I mean, you'd have to go, for us, you know, drive all the way there, which is some money out of, you know, gas, food money, get there at the event. We know no wrestling fan ever just goes to an event and doesn't spend any more money, right?
Well, that's true.
That's true. So, I mean, you're going to go and you're going to spend more money, not including your ticket price. Although, unlike Ace Riley just said, you can pay $8.88 at home and watch Cole Cabana take on Adam Pearce in the main event. Brings on kind of an interesting debate, Jesse, because, you know, I mean, what is your opinion on that? I mean, you know, going to an event live and paying possibly, like, quadruple the amount of money that you'd pay, just sit at home and watch, you know, maybe make a frozen pizza, you know, I don't know, maybe have a date over, you know. There's so many things that are right with staying.
You brought up two of my favorite things of all time, and that's frozen pizza and the ladies. But I think when you're looking at cost factor, I think for independent companies, definitely. I just read a report. I think it was Ring of Honor just had their pay-per-view not too long ago, and they needed to clear about 10,000 buys to actually break even. Now, if you think about that, that's 10,000 buys at about like $15, right? So if you do the math, quite a bit of chunk of change just to break even with the cable providers.
Wow, right.
Now, I'm not too sure how they're doing their pay-per-view, who they're going through or anything like that, but for an iPay-per-view, that's very simple. I mean, you can almost set that up with almost any type of internet streaming service, like a Ustream or something like that. But even with Ustream and a few other providers, you have to pay them a 50% service charge no matter what.
It is.
So, like, for every $8.88 you make, that's $4.44 going back to them. So at that point in time, it's like, do you run the risk of just charging less to get people to watch it instead of getting the cover charge for general admission? Because general admission, no matter what, that ticket price is already going to go back into your pocket. More than likely, I don't know if we can talk to like Mike Mercury about this or not, but usually your cost for the show is already set in stone even before doors open. So you almost have like your talent paid for, your crew paid for, and then everything else is basically
in your pocket money.
Pocket money, and then going to the next show.
Right.
Because that's a beautiful thing about having sponsors and stuff like that, but that's a different story for a different day. So I got to ask you, Nick, I mean, you've been to sporting events live, and have you seen them on TV? How does it favor for you? What would you rather do?
I think I'd rather go live. And that's another, I mean, when you talk about, because I mean, you get to see everything live, it's a different experience. But, I mean, when you talk about, you know, if we want to go back to the, you know, the initial question, independent companies putting on these pay-per-views, I honestly don't know if it seems worth it. And, you know, I'm not a promoter, and I don't know the ins and outs of the business I'm promoting. But, man, not only do you have to pay that, you have to pay $4.44, whatever it is, you know, 50% to those internet providers. If you're going through cable, you have to pay, you know, an ass load of money just to be able to afford that pay-per-view. You have to set up equipment to be able to run these iPay-per-views. You have to make sure that everything goes smoothly, because then that's a whole other aspect of your show that you need to worry about aside from just, you know, the performance in the ring. Because then when you're talking about using all this technology and you're sending out some sort of a signal, you have to make sure that doesn't go haywire either. Otherwise, you're pissing off a lot of people watching at home. So, I mean, you know, that I guess in the terms of things, I've seen guys, you know, promoters and stuff put on great shows without pay-per-views, and it already seems like a stress and a hassle as it is. Unless you have some sort of, you know, organization running some of this stuff, like running the pay-per-view stuff, or, you know, running the whole show together, then it seems more beneficial. But, I mean, just talking about, you know, having to worry about just that another aspect when you already have, you know, so much on the line putting that show together just doesn't seem worth it to me.
Well,
especially if you don't, I mean, like you said, you don't, you don't even know how much you're making off the bat.
And it's like, which cable and satellite provider is actually going to be carrying the pay-per-view? Because you have Dish, you have Direct, you have Charter, you have CenturyLink. That's just in our area.
And that already cuts
HBC
off.
Across the river.
Right.
I mean, where's the cutoff point? And who can actually get these pay-per-views?
Right.
That's always going to be a good question.
You know, one thing that's interesting about this is that, you know, you mentioned Ring of Honor doing pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a wide-scale audience that they have. So really, I don't think they have any problems getting the break-even point.
Right.
But still, though, 10,000 views. I mean, that's 10,000 buys. You're looking at the break-even.
Does WWE get 10,000 buys?
You know, they actually
know.
Probably
no,
do.
They
get, like, a million buys on WrestleMania.
Right.
But for Ring of Honor, like, well, one of the things that we always heard on the street, too, was the lack of advertisement for the pay-per-view from even Sinclair Broadcasting. I mean, this Sinclair Broadcasting owns Ring of Honor, and instead of just running any time avails to promote that show, because they probably knew, I want to say it was like 3 weeks before they decided to do the pay-per-view. It's like you still had 3 weeks to really run those ads and get your fan base who actually watches it on Sinclair to buy the pay-per-view.
Right.
And I think they did it, I want to say, like 3 days before.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's kind of hard to compare Ring of Honor. In my opinion, this is kind of a different topic too, but it's hard to compare Ring of Honor to other independent. I mean, Ring of Honor is almost in the middle of between independent wrestling and then the big times, you know, if TNA is even considered big times, but TNA, WWE, I think Ring of Honor is kind of like in the middle there because they hold such a prestigious name across the country. And I'm not saying that some other independent wrestling, you know, promotions don't, but when you talk in pay-per-view, you're talking about a wide-scale audience. You're not just talking in the area, which is what you're initially going for when you're setting up a show to begin with.
But still, though, I mean, it's okay, you're talking about a wide area, but
right.
If you're Steel Domain Wrestling, you set out this wide net, and you're trying to catch as many fish as possible.
Right.
I mean, just announcing it this week that it's going to be a pay-per-view might be strike one right there. Because there might have been a lot of people who are like, I already bought my tickets. I bought me. But that's the thing, though. It's like, what if someone was already planning on the road trip and decided not to go then now?
Yeah.
That's one of those things. And plus, it's like, can you get it out to your whole fan base? Hey, this is going to be a pay-per-view. Can you really build up to a pay-per-view caliber show in less than a week?
Right. And that's, you know, and that's the problem. Is that, I mean, because when you're starting off, as, you know, Steel Domain might be doing, they're advertising themselves for a pay-per-view. A lot of pay-per-views, let's talk Ring of Honor, WWE, TNA, things like that, they have that established, you know, fan base. You know, it's like, I know Ring of Honor is good. Why do I know Ring of Honor is good? Word of mouth. Everybody talks about Ring of Honor. Everybody's been to Ring, you know, all the big names that, you know, come through independent wrestling, you know, wrestle on Ring of Honor, you know, things like that. WWE, you know, the pay-per-view is going to be good because it's freaking WWE or whatever, you know. But, you know, like independent promotions that are running these pay-per-views that don't necessarily have that name, like, honestly, I bet Steel Domain's going to have a fantastic show. They have an amazing event that
no
I would
doubt.
Kill to see. But at the same time, you know, it's like I've never seen Steel Domain, so I don't know what they bring to the table. That's like talking about any other independent wrestler, you know, CPW or whatever. You know, it's like they put on a pay-per-view. I'm like, I don't know if I want to order that because I don't know what their product's like. I don't know what I'm paying for, and that's the problem.
Which is why I think that's why they only announced the main event, which is Adam Pearce and Colt Cabana, because you have two guys that have been all around in the independent scene, you know, two guys that, you know, have wrestled each other on countless times, wrestled other people, you know, you could say Colt Cabana and people will usually know who you're talking about. Same with Adam Pearce. So you got these two colliding, and then that should be, you know, for there what makes sense to really plug the pay-per-view is that, you know, everybody will want to see this. You know, people in Texas will want to, you know, tune into this pay-per-view. You know, people from any other of their fan bases. But I don't really know how much they really advertise its pay-per-view. I mean, I knew it was pay-per-view just because I saw the link the other day, but I don't really know, has, you know, Adam Pearce been plugging that he's going to be on the pay-per-view? Has Colt Cabana been plugging on the pay-per-view? I mean, I don't really know.
So that brings up probably the question that we need to ask at this point in time. Nick, are you going to get the pay-per-view?
No.
AC Riley, are you going to get the pay-per-view?
I might, but it really depends on work.
I'll actually be on vacation, so, I mean, I'm not going to order a pay-per-view and sit inside when I'll be on the East Coast. Right on
the ocean.
You
have a good reason.
So,
I mean, I'm pretty sure if you sat and watched the pay-per-view, you would get in a lot of heat.
I would get in a heat with myself. No, I love professional wrestling, but if I'm going to sit inside on a Saturday night when I'm going to be boarding right
well,
next
exactly.
to the ocean.
You can sit inside, you know, when you go home, but,
right.
you know, you're going out, you know, out of your way to go to this place.
That's like watching, you know, like trying to watch Hey Arnold or something when you're on vacation. Like, why are you even stop watching Hey Arnold? I mean, I like the show.
Exactly. And for me, it's because of work, is that I don't really want to drop, 888 if I'm going to be there for like all of 30 minutes. And if it's the opening contest, which I don't really know what it's going to be.
What are you going to do? Are you going to order it?
I plead the fifth.
Plead the fifth.
I plead the fifth.
What?
Honestly, this was a show that a couple weeks back I actually thought about going to, because it's a Saturday show, $10 general admission. You get to see a world-class.
It's a cheap show.
Yeah, you get to see a world-class.
Not cheap, inexpensive.
And it's in Hopkins, Minnesota. That's a 2.5-hour drive from La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's like, if the road conditions and the trip actually worked out fine, that'd be great. But, folks, the heat is on now because the mercury is going to be rising. We got Mike Mercury on the line. We're going to put him in the spotlight in the slur circle.
Nice.
Guys, this one's going to be a fantastic interview.
It's going to be a fantastic interview. And, since you bring up heat, it brings a great song to my mind. We're going to listen to Will Smith's Going to Miami. We're going to leave you guys with that. We'll be right back with Mike Mercury right after this.
Well, apparently LeBron James is leaving.
Will you guys stop interrupting me when I'm feeding it to break?
Well, we're on break right now.
We're going
right?
to Miami, all right?
How you wish you could embrace your mother-in-law. That's right, it's Grapple Talk with Nick Ragnar and AC Riley. Join the discussion over independent wrestling right now on Grapple Talk.
It's a Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Well, folks, this week on Spotlight in the Squared Circle, we have a special guest, none other than Mike Mercury. Hey, Mike, how you doing this week?
Hey, I'm doing well. Happy to be on. Thanks, guys.
Hey, no problem. For anyone who's not familiar with Mike Mercury in the state of Wisconsin or in the Midwest, give us just, who is Mike Mercury?
Well, I was born Michael Krause. I broke into the wrestling business. I started bumping around, sniffing around 1996, debuted in 1997. I wrestled all over the Midwest for a pretty good 7-year run. Myself and Eric Hammers started a wrestling company in Green Bay, Wisconsin called ACW All-Star Championship Wrestling. Eric kind of came and went as a partner. It was a fun project. Did that 2002. We had television in the Northeast Wisconsin market for 65 weeks. That was fun. I got out of actively wrestling, started a family. I had a wrestling school. The first graduate of our wrestling school that I had started along with Eric Hammers was Ken Anderson, who's on, TNA as Mr. Anderson. Silas Young came through the school. You see him on ROH, as well as, a lot of the people still making noise in the Midwest. Cody Rice out in Minnesota, Ian Gager over in the east end of Wisconsin, Milwaukee area. So it's been very rewarding. I myself, Rob Norwood, Shane Hills, we started Mercury One Wrestling, which was a wrestling company that lasted 2 years. Very, very proud about that. We've had, I believe it's 10 guys that have come through the Mercury One ranks that end up getting signed by either WWE or TNA. You see, like Eric Rowan from the Wyatt family used to work for us back when he was Thoruff. Eagle Fantastico, Keith Walker, Colt Cabana, Silas Young, they were all regulars. So then I got out of wrestling, was making some pretty good money. On the side, I'm an industrial engineer supervisor. I oversee some other industrial engineers and started another little wrestling project late last year, kind of helping out the indie scene, called Triple Threat Wrestling. We've got 4 shows under our belt, and that's kind of Mike Mercury in a nutshell, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think it's hard to argue with the resume that you've built. And one thing that you actually didn't mention that we have wrote down here is that you did 5 tapings for WWE as extra talent, and you acted as a talent liaison and booked 20 different local wrestlers for tapings. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I believe the first opportunities came through Nova. Sean Daivari was under contract at the time. I think Daivari set that up. Nova contacted me, said, "Hey, I need 12 guys. give me, you know, I need 12 guys for next week Monday. Who do you got? You know, I was able to get guys booked, and I was a couple times Tommy Dreamer had called, you know, looking for multiple guys. So you give them a list. You know, and that's always been very fun and rewarding as well, because you're able to get guys on, you know, shows like that, make a little bit of money, get a cup of coffee with the big time. I know Joe Eric Rowan, that was his first WWE booking was through me. Hornswoggle was another guy that I was able to refer, you know, as well as a couple other guys. Some have gotten matches, some have not, some are just, you know, extras. So that was fun. The last batch I did, Mark Carano was the talent guy, and so that was fun.
So I got to know, Mike, where does that credibility really start? I mean, because, you know, you're working in the indie scenes, and now, you know, you're getting asked, you know, for talent, you know, asking for talent in the local area. I got to know, like, how did that, you know, credibility, where did your opinion start to really matter? Where did that really come from?
That's a good question. You know, it helped having people on the inside. I know, you know, with Daivari, it's, hey, we're doing tapings in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Or, you know, I've gotten guys booked in Minneapolis, Iowa, Chicago. And being active in the local scene, and some of that was in a period where I really wasn't that active. There, when they need a lot of guys, they call. You know, they're not necessarily looking for the four guys or five or six guys to come in and bump around, and, you know, maybe one gets a dark match or is used in a TV taping. They're looking for the security cops. They're looking for, I know, some of the stuff that I was able to get guys for was like Druids for an Undertaker, Mark Henry casket match. Myself, Dysfunction, and I think somebody else, we were paparazzi for Floyd Mayweather during a Floyd Mayweather Big Show weigh-in.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. It definitely sounds, Mike, like you're a jumping-off point for a lot of the guys in this area, and certainly a jumping-off point for promotions as well. For you, when you started up, you know, running in July 4th, 1998, you know, what was the deciding moment for you that said, I want to start running shows now?
Well, in that era, the only people that really ran wrestling shows in the state of Wisconsin was Carmine DiSpirito had Mid-American down in Milwaukee. Chris Bassett had ran a handful of shows a year as New Age Wrestling. I helped him rebrand that into Packerland Pro Wrestling. He had a couple sold shows, but nothing of any kind of regularity. And I felt that nobody was running any shows north of Oshkosh or Fond du Lac in Green Bay. Could be a good home base. They support the UWDB Phoenix, the Green Bay Blizzard, which at that time were like the Green Bay Bombers, the Green Bay Gamblers Hockey. So Eric Hammers, who also has a punk rock background, he had a record label and promoted a lot of music shows, you know, kind of put our heads together and said, you know, instead of driving to St. Louis or Illinois or Indiana or Minnesota, what would happen if we put something out here in our neck of the woods? And it kind of just grew and grew, and we had a very good run.
Now, you guys really set the roots of independent pro wrestling in Wisconsin and firmly placed them in Green Bay. One of the things I really marvel about ACW was the fact that you guys ran TV for 65 straight weeks back in the early 2000s,
right,
which, coming from a TV background myself, that is a Herculean task and a half. And to be the first company, really, regionally, to do that since the AWA, and that folded probably, what, 92, is commendable. I got to ask you, the production schedule of doing 65 solid weeks of TV had to take a toll on the whole crew.
It was hard work, and some of that is ignorance. You know, and at that point in my life, I'm in my early 20s. And so it's one of those things where the TV came out of basically, we had a little formula that we did for the advertising of our shows. You know, if we'd spend $800 to advertise an independent show, now we're running two shows a month, three shows a month. Like, well, now we're spending $1,600, $2,400. Like, well, what if, you know, we had a TV show, which in essence serves as an infomercial, and if they don't watch the infomercial for free, they're never going to pay $10 to see it live. You know, Jason Jerry, Matt Byron, Will Santowski, all those guys were very... They did a lot of the editing, the post-production. You know, we did the booking, and it all came together. a lot of people, and even the boys themselves, you know, the talent. Because it's work showing up at a venue at 2 o'clock, you know, as opposed to a lot of indie shows where you can show up 30 minutes before bell time. You can't do that when you have to film a promo or a vignette. And I'm very, very proud of our TV. You know, like some of the other, like, public access type stuff that existed elsewhere was more like a random collection. I know one of the fans had put all 65 weeks of ACW TV on YouTube, and if you watch it in chronological order, it makes sense. And there is a booking and a storylines, and you know, we had veterans, we had the Kevin Krugers, Sam Hain, Rockin' Randys, you know, we had Horse Psychopaths, we had young talent, you know, we had the Dino Bambino, Ken Anderson. Towards the end, we had CM Punk, you know, so you have that blending melting pot, you know. And it came together for a beautiful thing.
You were also the second promotion in the entire Midwest to have your own .com on the internet, the first being jbdraskampw.com. You know, for a lot of guys that we've talked to, you've talked to a few promoters in the past about how important it is to promote your product to really get it out there. So, you know, for you, Mike, you know, what was your key to success to get those asses in the seats?
Well, you got to figure out what you are and what you want to be. You know, the promoter is a very broad term, and you got to decide, I'm going to promote a show. You know, and that's somebody who does one show a year, be it their hometown or a festival. And then there's a group. Okay, well, we're going to run once a month in the same venue and never really leave. And then there's a wrestling promotion that runs multiple shows in multiple cities, you know, and I'm proud to say ACW was a company. You know, we had the television, we had the wrestling school, you know, we had the ACW home video that we were outselling and marketing. You know, we consistently did 2 to 4 shows a month. We did ring rentals, you know, and it was my livelihood. I've been very blessed by wrestling. I got my first full-time job at age 30 because wrestling was pretty good to me, you know, in the early 2000s, mid-2000s. You got to decide what you are and what you're going to be before you can accomplish that. You know, I think too often people just kind of throw stuff against the wall to see what sticks. And you got to have a plan, and marketing and advertising has to be a part of that plan.
Right, talking about marketing and advertising, I mean, on this show we've discussed many times how important that is, but it sounds like you were very well-rounded when you first entered the business. I guess I can't say that for sure, but where did really all your knowledge come from, you know being a promoter and running shows and doing things like that? Where did all that come from, and how did you really mold that together and make a product like ACW and, you know, like 3TW today?
It's one of those things where you pick the brains of people around you. Everybody in my family is a business owner, a small business owner. I'm the youngest of four kids. So all my siblings, my parents own their own businesses, from tire repair shops to restaurants to taverns to, you know, so you get kind of exposed to that. And then it's talking to your elders. You know, I subscribe to The Observer from high school on. And, you know, I was kind of a smart mark before there was such a thing, I guess, to the internet. You know, I spoke to, you know, people like Rock and Randy every day for 4 years, you know. And you can't help but soak up some of that stuff. And I'm pleased to say that, you know, I was on very good terms with a lot of the other promoters, you know, be it Ed Hellier or Carmine or, you know, anybody like that. Like, we always got along, and we'd, you know, bounce ideas off each other. And I mean, that's something that I do to this day with 3TW. My business partner, Chris Hummel, he's kind of crossed over a little bit, and he's been doing the autograph signings and things like that. You can follow him on Twitter at ToymanChris. Like, he'll have Scott Steiner at the San Diego Comic-Con this next weekend. He just finished a show 2 weeks ago with Kevin Nash and Scott Steiner. You know, he's been doing stuff with Ken Anderson, Scotty Too Hotty, Al Snow. You know, so it's crossing over, and it's you can't think of, you know, whether it's your advertising, your marketing, or just your show, you have to cross over, and you have to get maximum success. You got to hit everything from different angles.
You're speaking nothing but wisdom here, Mike. One of the big things, of course, with the Dojo of Pain, and that's been running strong for a good part of almost 2 decades now. I got to ask you, who's like 5 guys coming out of the Dojo of Pain right now, if you're still really much attached to it, that you want to keep your eye on if you're a fan of Wisconsin professional wrestling?
You know, I think Ian Gager is number one. He's 25 years old. He's been in the business going on 7 years. Somebody I talk to almost daily, and he's in a weird location. He's like just south of Manitowoc, so he's not necessarily near other wrestlers. You know, I know Silas Young has taken him under his wing a little bit, and he's a guy that he's done some stuff for. He's had a couple of like 6-man, 8-man matches for AAW, and he's done like Steve Boz's Chicago style wrestling. But he's a guy that he's 6'3", 250, and if you're a promoter, why you wouldn't want to use a guy like that, that has all the potential in the world, you know, I just would shake my head at you. You know, I think wrestlers come in all shapes and sizes, and Jordy Lee, Gorgeous Jordy, is another guy who is about entertaining as can be. He's a grapple talk veteran, and he's very entertaining inside the ring and out. You know, and I think Stacy Shadows is somebody that she's just getting warmed up. You know, she's somebody that, you know, she's involved with, like, the booking aspects of the WPW. She's a sharp cookie. She's tough. She's a badass chick. Like, I mean, that she brings stuff to the table that, you know, that nobody else does. So, you know, and then there's some of the Cody Rice, after taking a couple years off, he's set up shop in the Twin Cities, you know. So if you're a promoter over in the western end of the upper Midwest, I think that the Husky heartthrob definitely brings something to the table. And I think one of the biggest compliments I've ever been given with the training aspects is when our guys would debut and wrestle, you know, I'd be like, well, that was their third match. And their opponents or some of the other people watching the show would be like, holy crap, that was better than my 20th match, you know. And so that's good. And I think, you know, our people tend to be able to talk a little bit, and because that's all stuff you work on, you know. And Shane Hills, who came through the school, and I ran the school with him, and now he runs the school by himself. I mean, he works those guys hard, and the results show it, you know. And I think another guy that he's not a dojo guy, but he's part of that Green Bay crew, that Peter Schwanz, I think he's a stud, you know. And I think Nick Colucci, 3TW champion, I mean, that guy can write his own ticket. He's a total package.
You know, speaking of 3TW, Mike, you know, we're running out of time, but one last question I got to ask is that you've had 4 shows since October 2013. When is show number 5 going to be?
That's a good question. Tanner's and Kimberly has been a great venue. We will be coming back there. We can't really quite get the dates to match up that we want with some of the bigger name talent. So that one's still a work in progress. And then we're also looking to debut in another market in October. It's not finalized yet, so I don't want to spill the beans. But if you go to triplethreatwrestling.com or 3TW, Triple Threat Wrestling on Facebook, or follow it at 3T Wrestling on Twitter. You'll find all about it and who's all coming in for it.
All right, well, Mike Mercury, we want to thank you for coming in. I can speak for AC Riley and Jesse Von Rudin myself when I say you dropped quite a few wrestling nuggets on us, and yeah, thanks for coming on Grapple Talk for our Spotlight Squared Circle.
Anytime, and I can also say that I'm proud to announce that I signed on to be part of the ThunderWalters.com wrestling project. He's going to be coming out with a website basically called the Great Wrestling Debate, and I'm going to be providing content for that website. So that's being finalized, and you should see that before the end of summer.
All right, cool, Mike. Definitely looking forward to that, and thanks once again for being on Grapple Talk this week.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Mike Mercury here on Spotlight the Squared Circle. We'll be right back. We'll have Wrestler's Perspective right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
If you want to ask me, and say, hey, Nicholas Joseph Ragnar, what just happened in the middle of the ring? Bull.
Keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
Yeah, I'm cussing on TV because I don't care.
And welcome back to Grapple Talk. Great interview with Mike Mercury. And
interview.
Yeah, as he said, you can always follow 3TW at Twitter. So that's at 3T Wrestling. Or on Facebook, you can find him at 3TW Triple Threat Wrestling. Or you can follow Mike Mercury on Twitter. That's at Mike Mercury of GB, capital GB, if you want to follow him on Twitter. I mean, you know, the guy is super successful. And, yeah, it was great talking to him, Jesse. Yeah, good job getting him on, Jess.
Well, you know, it's like getting the chance to go over there and working with 3TW has been nothing but a joy and a blessing for us, especially as a production company. I'm looking forward to getting back over there hopefully in October, and we'll see where the future goes.
Isn't that where your love for Joe Jet Avalon started?
You know, I'm really not too sure, but it started somewhere, I guess.
Well, speaking of love and a joy and blessing.
It's time for Wrestler's Perspective.
I'm going to say it one more time because I have to say it twice. Wrestler's Perspective. And, you know, this week, AC Riley, this is a pretty serious question. You know, we're talking to Mike Mercury about, you know, running shows. And, you know, when you go to shows, you know, one thing that, you know, is very constant for you is getting food afterwards.
Okay.
You know, everybody loves eating food. You know, it's fast food, what have you. So I got to ask, Riley, if you're going to Taco Bell after a professional wrestling show and you get a quesadilla, do you get chicken or do you get steak?
I'd have to say steak.
All right, well, that's it for this week's Wrestler's Perspective. If you have a question for AC Riley, you can always hit us up on Facebook at The Grapple Talk, or you can follow us on Twitter at The Grapple Talk. And, yeah, great Wrestler's Perspective this week. That's probably top 10 Wrestler Perspectives
all time.
of all time.
That's definitely getting nominated at WBA.
That's getting nominated. Yeah, we're going to send that one to WBA. But you know what? I'm actually really interested. This week we have a tape study courtesy of Jesse Von Ruden. Jesse, what do we got for this week?
Well, this week's tape study is courtesy of Ring of Honor. It was March 21st, 2009. It was their 7th anniversary show, and it was for the World Heavyweight Championship as champion Nigel McGuinness took on Kenta.
Ooh.
Now, this was actually a pretty interesting match because the night before, McGuinness actually tore his left bicep. And at this point in time, he's been wrestling with a right tear as well. So
really?
The majority of his strikes were headbutts for this match. It became a match of attrition. Kenta attacked the arm with vigor. And it was one of those things. How much damage could McGuinness sustain before he had to give it up? And to tell you the truth, it's a story of heart. It's a story of determination. It's about a story of will. And, of course, Nigel McGuinness at that point in time was the most hated man in Ring of Honor. So having the internet darling Kenta come up short in this situation just even made him more hated.
Wow, yeah. I mean, we talked about Ring of Honor earlier. And, you know, I remember, you know, Nigel McGuinness was just huge as far as talking about guys getting heat at that time, the late 2000s. And, yeah, that's definitely one that I have to check out. I never actually really saw anything from Kenta, though. I didn't.
Well, definitely with him signing with WWE this past weekend.
Oh, really?
If I was you, I would get on YouTube right now and watch as much of Kenta as possible because this guy really helped revolutionize the business within the last 25 years, especially with his striking style in Japan.
Oh, cool. Well, that's it, this week's tape study. Ring of Honor, Kenta taking on Nigel McGuinness. What is that? March 21st of 2009. So you want to check that one out. You can probably find it almost anywhere on the internet.
Great way to get introduced into seeing Kenta in WWE, as you mentioned.
Well, definitely. We'll link it on Facebook and on Twitter as well.
Oh, there you go. So thanks for Jesse Von Ruden for that. I don't know what to say. That was dumb. Anyways, you know, we had Mike Mercury on. Great show today, guys. And you know what? About time we wrap up Grapple Talk this week. So, AC Riley, as we do every week, closing comments.
I'm just blown away by what we learned from Mike Mercury. So, I'm going to, you know,
what are you gonna do?
Motivated by that.
He's motivated.
I'm inspired.
AC Riley's motivated. And you know what? I'm motivated to end this broadcast so I don't, you know, spit any more shit out of my mouth. For Jesse Von Ruden, AC Riley, I'm Nick Ragner. We'll catch you guys next week on Grapple Talk. Stay classy, folks. And this upcoming week on Grapple Talk, we are sitting down with Mikey Wild. He is going to go wild on Grapple Talk.
He got so wild, as a matter of fact, that he sidelined due to an injury with his collarbone.
But you guys, you don't want to miss out on that. Just because he's injured, the laughs is still there.
The laughs, what did you say?
The laughs.
The laughs.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. Mikey Wild's a funny guy. He's not a clown, but he's one of the funniest guys.
You're a pretty funny guy, too. And you know what else is funny? We have a Twitter and a Facebook page.
That is very funny. It's actually, what's even funnier is that they're the same handle.
What?
So Facebook is facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk.
Oh, no way.
And Twitter is @TheGrappleTalk.
Oh, that's so...
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Oops.
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk.
That's the bottom line.
Because right. Jesse Von Ruden said so.
No, not at all.
Nice.
Oh. Yep.
Gimmick steal.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Look at us.
Stop doing that Emma thing, dude. I hate that.
Hey, come on. So I'm not stealing your pen.
That's so dumb.
Nice. I see what he did there.
What happened?
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk all summer long.